Our scripture reading today comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New American Standard, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in the 18th verse. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this own age, let him become foolish, that he may instead become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. As it is written, he is the very one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And then again later, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless.
Good evening, and once again, welcome to all who are here. As was mentioned this morning, I am grateful to be able to stand before you for another service and share with you another portion of God's Word. It's certainly my hope that everything that I say here is first and foremost true to God's Word. Whenever we gather together, for those who are visiting with us and those who are members here, we understand that when we are gathering together, the first thing we must always keep in mind is we're worshiping God. And what that means is we respect His pattern in everything that we do. And that's why we do not necessarily do things the way that other places do it. We look for authority for everything we do. Every act of worship needs to be following the pattern that we have within God's Word, and we try to follow those things in everything that we do. And certainly so, not only should we be worshiping God in truth, we must also be worshiping God with a proper attitude. And that is one of the ways that we can let our light shine in a dark world. So we are continuing with our theme this week, which is lights in a dark world. And this morning in our lessons, we talked about what an example is in the first hour. And the second hour, we talked about how Jesus is the light that we reflect. Tonight, I'm going to be looking at the other side of the coin. We're going to be looking at darkness, the darkness that is surrounding us. And then tomorrow night, we're going to talk about what different looks like. On Tuesday night, we're going to talk about how we need to be an example in every area of our lives. And Wednesday night, we're going to focus on our example online with emphasis on social media. And Thursday night, we're going to talk about how do you let your light shine. And finally, on Friday night, why we let our light shine. So let's go ahead and get started with the lesson that we have here for this evening, which is dealing with the darkness that is around us. And certainly when we read our scriptures, we find that there is a lot that is said with the scriptures about what it is to be a Christian, but there's a lot of warnings about what the times were like and the darkness of the world that Christ came to save us from, if you will. And you know, even though the New Testament was written some 2,000 years ago, you know, give or take a little bit of dating and so on, the truth is the Bible is as timely today as it was back in the first century. You know, when you think about the nature of man, and you read some of those lists of sins that are in the New Testament, it's as if it was an editorial today. You know, you think about that with a number of these passages where, you know, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 describes the works of the flesh, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's go ahead and read this one here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse number 1, you find in this particular text that Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves," that is prideful, "lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitor, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power, and from such people turn away." So you have here, you know, a description of all these qualities, and most of us, if you interact with the world at all, We see those today. And that's the point. You know, even though the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, the warnings are there for us, and it's applicable for us from that standpoint. You have another similar list in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 32, and I'll say that you have the outline, and you can read that a little bit later, as you find the conduct of the individual that rejects God. He basically makes God into his own image. And again, you see much of that today. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 gives another list of sins. And let's go ahead and read this, because we're going to be in 1 Corinthians for just a few moments here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you find in this text that Paul gives this list where he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And then verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So Paul gives another one of these lists. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he makes the point that some of you did some of those things, but not anymore, because you've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You've come out of the world. You know, when we think about the darkness of the world, I could devote this entire series to talking about the sins of the world. And while that might be beneficial, that's not the direction that I want to take this. I want us to be aware of what is going on in the world, but I want us to talk about being lights in the world. And with that in mind, I could take this another direction. I could talk about the darkness in the religious world. That is, those who are addressing and encouraging compromise where God's word does not, ungodly attitudes that exist between those who are professing God. We could look at doctrinal errors and doctrinal practices. But again, that's not my direction in this particular lesson. In this lesson, what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the wisdom of this world, the darkness of the wisdom of this world, as that is where sinful conduct actually begins. So let's go ahead and address that as we go through this particular lesson here this evening. And I want you to understand that when it comes to light and darkness, the Bible contrasts light and darkness. It actually does this both physically and spiritually. As a matter of fact, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and in Genesis chapter 1, you read there beginning in verse number 2. You know, verse number 1 talks about, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." The world was dark. But then notice it says, "And the Spirit of God was coming to the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called light night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." So from the very beginning, light and dark, or day and night, are contrasted with each other. And that contrast will make its way throughout Scripture. When Jesus came into this earth, and as John introduced Jesus in John chapter 1, we read there in that particular text, in John chapter 1 and in verse number 4 and 5, you read there in him, that is speaking of Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version here as well. Now you go over to John chapter 3 and in verse number 19, and you have here, at least as it's recorded in the New King James, this is a part of the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. And toward the end of that conversation, he says here, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so he's making the point, and we talked about this in our first lesson this morning, where one of the qualities of light is that it exposes darkness. Men love darkness, and men who are walking in darkness hate the light. I tell you right now, we see that in society today, spiritually. That's one of the sad realities of the society in which we live in. And here, Jesus is explaining that that's been the case throughout the world, the history of mankind. And so that's the case to give consideration to in that text. And again, you have the contrast. In Luke chapter 11 and in verse 35, Jesus there said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed to that light which is in you, that light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as with the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." So again, you've got this contrast that is taking place, and in the case of this text, Jesus is actually talking about what you bring into your body, what you bring in through your eyes. And he's making the point, are you bringing darkness into you or are you bringing the light into you? Contrasting the darkness, meaning the ways of the world, and the light being the ways of God. So you can see there's just multiple verses that deal with this contrast. In Ephesians chapter 6 in verse number 12, where Paul talks about this war that we are engaged in, and he talks about the nature of our battle. And he makes the point there where he says there in verse number 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness." Our battle is a spiritual battle. And that's the point that is being observed in that. In Proverbs, throughout the Proverbs, some of the observations that Solomon made concerning wisdom. He says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So over and over, you can see it's clearly established that there's a contrast between light and darkness. And we need to choose which side we're going to be on. We need to choose the light. We are to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, which is the theme of this particular study here this week. Now, just a few moments ago, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 through 20 was read as the scripture reading. And Paul, in the first 3 to 4 chapters, as he's dealing with unity, encouraging the brethren to be united, he was addressing the carnality that was in their midst, the worldliness that they were struggling with and that they were fighting with. And he talks about the wisdom of this world and how it is foolishness to God. God rejects the wisdom of man that rejects him, and that's the point. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, we're living in a time of heightened enlightenment. You know, when you think about the internet, and again, I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday night, the internet can be a tremendous blessing. You know, to think about the resources that we have at our disposal, at our fingertips. You know, you can do a search and you can find answers for anything. And that can be good. You can watch a video and learn how to cook anything. And you just go down the list. You can fix a car. There's so many good things that you can learn. And you can get good information from God's Word as far as that concerned. But I'm going to tell you right now, in this time of enlightenment, oftentimes the wisdom also leads to rejecting God, because there's a lot out there, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's just not true. There's a lot out there that stands contrary to God's Word, and you can find that online just as easily. And that is a challenge that we need to give consideration to. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 1, going back to the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul here, talking about the wisdom that is associated with this world, makes this point. He said the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So he's making the point there, where he's making the point that the world deliberately chooses not to consider who God is. They choose to explain away God. And the world often views the preaching of the gospel as foolishness. And that's what, honestly, that's what we're dealing with. We give consideration to that as we think about shining as lights. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, he says, these things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me make an observation about that verse. When he says that those of the world cannot receive it, it doesn't mean that it is impossible for somebody to learn the truth. What he's saying is they don't want to learn the truth. They have a hardened heart, like what you would read about in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. The seed is sown on the wayside, and Satan snatches it away before it has a chance to take ground. Well, if you've got somebody that has made up his mind that there is no God, it's going to be difficult to change that mind. If you got somebody who's made up his mind that the Bible is not the Word of God, it's a challenge to change that person. I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, when you talk about that hardened heart that Satan robs the soil. Well, you know, I just wonder, is it possible to take a piece of ground that is hardened soil and turn it into good soil? I think it is. It's a lot of work. A whole lot of work. And that's a point to give consideration to. But that's the wisdom of this world. And that is what we are dealing with when it comes to this world. Over there in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, Paul talked about the attitude of these people toward God. In verse 20, he says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their bodies to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And he goes on and he describes some of that behavior, some of that corrupted behavior. But he's making the point there, even though they heard about God, they didn't care. They chose not to acknowledge God, and so they made man into their own God. And friends, that's a lot of what we see today. And again, like I tell you, I want you to realize that not everything that you hear today is true. You need to investigate. And you need to investigate with a good and an honest heart. And I could give you plenty of examples of this. Naturalism teaches that there is no God. Teaches that this world just came into existence all by itself. The atheist can't explain that. All they say is, it happened. They can't explain it. But that's what naturalism teaches, because it says there is no God and doesn't want a God. Many of our school systems reject the possibility of God. You have the idea of we're going to teach that this world came into existence through the general theory of revolution. Came into existence through the general theory of evolution, but there's no alternative. They won't even let you consider the fact that maybe there's an eternal being that brought this world into existence. Our entertainment, it leaves God out of the picture, and more often than that today, it blasphemes our God. Humanism, which teaches man is his own God, is promoted with very little resistance throughout our society. The morals of Scripture, and this isn't just in the world, this is sometimes among professed believers. The morals of Scripture are either rejected or redefined or retained or changed to accept behaviors that the Bible teaches are contrary to His will. Worldly wisdom says, you do whatever you want. Worldly wisdom says, there is no absolute morality. Except theirs, of course. I mean, and it's typically always that way. I don't know if you've heard this, but it is said that we are living in a postmodern world. And I don't know a whole lot about the different philosophical development time period, but if I understand correctly, basically the concept of modernism, which was I think the late 1800s, early 1900s and so on, was basically saying something to the effect of question authority and question everything. So it was the idea of think, rationalize. And of course the idea was, let's rationalize away the need for God. And so Darwin comes along with Origin of the Species and other things like that. But we're living in the postmodern society. And that's the society that says, there is no absolute truth. You believe what you want is truth, and I will believe what I want is truth, and both of them are equally valid. If you wonder what the difference is, that's the prevailing philosophy that is being promoted today in our media, as well as in educational institutions and various other areas that we need to give consideration to. And that needs to be a concern. The wisdom of this world promotes selfishness. Because, I mean, you think about this. If you reason away God and you say there's no God and we are just finely developed meat machines, you know, we're all evolved from the same living creature, and once you die, that's it. And your distant relative was an animal. Why not act like an animal? Do what you want. That's the consequence of a philosophy that says there's nothing beyond this world. And yet that's the wisdom that is promoted in this world. We are also described as living in the me generation, which basically means what's in it for me. And that's what the demands are so often today. Pick and choose which laws you want to follow. You see any of that around us? Where, you know, we'll obey these laws, but, you know, I don't like this law, so I don't have to obey this law. And I tell you right now, when people start doing that with the laws of the land, how long will it be before they start doing it with God's laws? That's a problem. The wisdom of this world provokes intolerance. And what's so ironic about that is while they're promoting and saying we need to tolerate each other, they refuse to tolerate those who challenge their beliefs on tolerance. I call it the intolerance of the preachers of tolerance, because that's what we see in our society today. They've redefined what tolerance is, and what I mean by that is if you look up what the actual definition of tolerance is it basically means that if somebody disagrees with them, you put up with them and you treat them civilly. But that's the idea. But what tolerance today is it says you need to treat every different view as equally valid. In other words, two conflicting views. Each one, you believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want. And by the way, you have to support me for believing what I want to believe. That's the idea of tolerance today. And so you're never going to achieve true unity when you have something like that. And you're not going to receive, you're not going to achieve the truth because nobody wants it. Or there are many that don't want it, is I guess the better way to say that. So that's the world that we're living in. And as I said, you could go on and on. That's the darkness around us. And that's the darkness that we are confronting as God's people. Back in about 700 BC, Isaiah writes, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." We see a lot of that today. That's again, that's something we need to be concerned about. James, over in James chapter 3, contrasted the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. And in James chapter 3 and verse 13, he says there, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." And you can just mark that because we'll come back to the rest of that text. But notice how he describes the wisdom of this world as bitter envy and self-seeking in one's heart. You boast and you lie against the truth. It is described as earthly, worldly goals. It is described as sensual, which means it's appealing to your lusts. And the idea of demonic means it's of the devil. It is not of God. And when you have that, as God told us 2,000 years ago, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's the wisdom of this world. So what do we do about it? For the rest of our time, that's a little bit what I want to talk about. What can I do to deal with the darkness that is around us? And I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing that you ought to give consideration to is you need to learn a little bit about the darkness that is around you without being enveloped by it. And that's a caution. Don't spend all your time with it, but you need to know enough. You know, there may be people who are Christians and they have concerns about social media, and they say, "You know what? I don't have any social media accounts." Great. Good. I'm not going to say that that's a problem, but I'm going to tell you right now, you still need to know enough about social media so that when your child is on social media, you know what he's being influenced by or she's being influenced by. Your friends and your neighbors, what's driving them? You need to be aware of that. And that's just one example of what I'm talking about, learning about the darkness around us. Be aware of the motives that are behind what's taking place, because the more you learn about that, the more prepared you're going to be to answer somebody who comes up with you. You know, I've devoted a lot of time over the past few years because of some events that happened a few years ago on evidences. And I mean, I spent 6 months, Sunday and Wednesday nights, teaching there is a God. Then I spent another 6 months teaching the Bible is the Word of God. And then I spent another 6 months teaching that Jesus is the Son of God. And I didn't cover everything because there's a lot to say about that. And, you know, I would tell people, "Why are you spending so much time on this?" Well, you know what? I'm not going to convert that rabid atheist that's writing the books, more than likely. I'm not going to convert that one who has a website that just is constantly tearing down God. But what I'm concerned about is that one that goes to that website. And he comes to me and asks a question. Why? Or, you know, I heard this argument I want to be able to answer that argument. I want to be able to ground students so that when you go to a public college and you go to a science class or a math class, and they say that you believe God, and they say if you want to believe in a fairy tale, go ahead. You know, even if you're not able to debate that professor, I want you to know he's full of hot air. There is an answer. Because there are answers. There are answers to the arguments that are made against the existence of God and so on. And that's why we need to learn about the darkness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, Paul warning the brethren there said, we are not ignorant of his devices. Talks about Satan taking advantage of us. We need to be alert. Something else along this line, and this goes along when you're aware of what's going on, you need to do your best to prepare to answer what is going on. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready to the best of our... When somebody says, why do you believe what you believe? Can you answer that? And even if you don't have the right answer or the exact answer they want right now, do you know where to go and get the answer? That's a part of it. You know, you say, well, you know what? Give me some time. Let me research that and I'll get back to you. And you know the next thing you need to do when you say that? Is get back to them. Don't just say it and then move on. But the idea is we need to be ready. 2 Timothy 2:15, the New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think New American Standard says something like handling accurately the word of truth. King James, y'all know this, study to show thyself approved unto God. And I kind of like the word study that's used. I realize it means to put forth diligent effort. But what is study? What is true Bible study? It's diligent effort to know what God tells us we ought to be doing. So to the best of our ability, dealing with the darkness, we need to learn to expose what is wrong and why it is wrong. Another point that I'd give consideration to this, you know, as you're thinking about it, again, you go back to using God's word over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 19. 2 Peter 1 and in verse number 19. Get over here. Wrong direction in my Bible. Peter there says, verse 19, he says, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. He makes the point there that we have the prophetic word that we need to give heed to as we look at our lives. And you can look at many other passages. You know, Jesus, as he's sending out his disciples, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In Proverbs 2 and verse 10, Solomon there said, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. The wisdom of God will preserve us from that very thing. Something else that you need to learn to do, and this takes courage. It takes courage. We need to learn to be different. We need to learn. You know, over in Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse number 27, you read there, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Now, I realize the context there is about lust and so on, but isn't that a principle that we ought to give consideration to when we think about everything we're doing? You know, I mean, you don't play with fire is the point that is being made there. And that's the way we would say it today. And so we need to learn that we can't walk the line with the world and think that we're not going to be exposed by it. As Christians, we are called upon to be different. Tomorrow night, the lesson is entitled, What Does Difference Look Like? And so we'll talk about that in more detail at that time. We also need to have no fellowship with darkness. We need to not put ourselves in a situation where, you know, Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't put yourself in a situation where an unbeliever has an advantage over you. Watch where you go. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Paul in the Roman letter told them, as he was beginning to wrap up this letter from a practical standpoint, he makes the point there in verse number 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Put off darkness. Something else that we need to do is we need to love each other. Let me tell you right now, I don't know if things are going to get worse in America or not or in the world. I tell you what, it's trending that way. I'm talking about morally. It is trending, and it doesn't look good. Maybe it's going to change. But I'm going to tell you right now, the darker the world gets, the more we need each other. The way we treat each other as brethren is absolutely crucial. We are God's family in this community. We need each other. And we must never, ever forget that. And that's one of the points that John was dealing with. Over in 1 John 2 and verse number 9, he said there, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You cannot love God and hate your brother. John said it in another text right there. We have to love each other because we need each other. We need to be there for each other. When somebody is stumbling, when somebody's struggling, we need to be there to lift them up. We need to be there to put our arm around them and encourage them and help them deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with, whatever struggles that, or whatever influence that the dark world has on them. We are the ones who need to be there to help them get out of that. You know, and when somebody comes forward confessing their struggles and so on, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand with them? Are you going to say, how can I help you, and genuinely mean it? Or are you going to kick them while they're down and make it worse? The world does that. But we're supposed to be the light of the world. And that brings me to another point, which is we need to learn self-discipline or self-control. We need self-control in those areas of our life that we are struggling with, and as you engage the darkness, because you're in the world. You know, Jesus made that point over there as he was praying to God in John 17 about his disciples. He made the point, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. And those are two drastically different things. We are in this world, and the only way you're going to let your light shine is if your light is made visible to the world. So we need to do that. But you're not of the world. And that means you need to learn self-control. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul's talking about athletes there. And he's talking about top-tier athletes and how they're temperate in all things. And Paul even goes on and says in about verse 27, I do not count myself, or he goes on and says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. That's when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. 2 Peter 1. This is where Peter says, you build up on your faith. With all diligence, you build up on your faith, or you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And it's interesting the results of that. what Peter says, and you know, so that's just something to give consideration to. So if we want to deal with the darkness of this world, we need discipline. I'll tell you right now, something else you need is prayer. Don't leave God out of your solution. You pray about it, and you pray about it continually. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and remember what happened? He goes up to pray, and he comes back, and he finds them sleeping. He basically says, wake up. He says, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. And he said it twice, because he goes and prays again, and they're sleeping again, and he says the same thing. Paul in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7 told them, you be serious and watchful in your prayers. In James chapter 1 and in verse number 5, James chapter 1 and in verse number 5, James there made the point, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. We need to be praying to God. And then finally, we need to understand the wisdom of God. Let's go back to James chapter 3 again. James chapter 3, we talked about the wisdom of this world earlier in this lesson through verse number 16. But now let's read verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the wisdom of this world, and that's what we are to be pursuing. And you contrast that with the wisdom of this world. And I can tell you right now, these are qualities that are undeniably good. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 describes that fruit or the works of the flesh. But then that's followed up in verses 22 and 23 with the fruit of the Spirit. And when he starts describing the fruit of the Spirit at the end of that, he says, and it love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and such. And when he finishes, he says, against such things there is no law. And the point is those are things that nobody can argue against. Because that's what God wants us to be. So our actions are, and our message need to be the wisdom of God. So we find as we wrap this up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, going back to where he's contrasting the wisdom, in verses 4 and 5 of that text, Paul said this. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Friends, that is what we need. And all of this comes down to this. We need to be a proper example. We need to be letting our lights shine. And that is the point. It's Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Do not hide your light under a lamp or under a basket, but put it on a lampstand. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You let your light shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And to do that, we have to deal with the darkness. So as you examine your life, are you chasing the darkness away? So think about that. So in just a moment, we're going to be singing our song of invitation here. Maybe there is somebody here who is not ready to stand before God. Have you become a child of God? If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, will you repent and renounce the ways of this world? Will you confess Him? And will you be baptized? And in that act of baptism, as happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and in verse 38, they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You be baptized so your sins can be washed away. And there's plenty of passages that emphasize that. Have you done that? That's how you become a child of God. And that's only the beginning. Because what we've been talking about tonight and what I'm going to talk about this whole week is living as a child of God. It doesn't end once you obey the gospel. That's just the beginning. We have to let our light shine. If you have not been letting your light shine, God will forgive you also. You just got to go to him in prayer and ask for forgiveness, confessing your sins. 1 John 1 and verse number 9. Acts 8:22, Simon the magician, he was told, repent and pray that the thought of your heart be forgiven you. If there's something that you're struggling with, there are brethren who are here who are ready to help you with that. We're going to sing an empty mansion here in just a moment. That's about heaven. You want to go to heaven when this life is over? Remove whatever it is that's standing in the way. Remove the darkness. And if we can help you with that, we stand ready. Come forward as we stand and as we stand.